Welcome to the Dopamine Pursuit Podcast, a podcast for ambitious people in the pursuit to hit new and extraordinary levels in life. A space where we learn to break our negative addictions and patterns and embrace healthier habits and healthy doses of dopamine while living a more purposeful life. We are here to uncover practical strategies, inspiring stories, and expert insights that will empower you to pursue your dreams and make them a reality. We are talking all things from business, leadership, marketing, investments, health, and relationships. So you'll want to grab your coffee and get comfortable as we push ourselves to grow by being uncomfortable. This is the Dopamine Pursuit Podcast. Hi, friends. Before we get into today's episode, there's one very simple way that you can help support our show, and that's to hit the follow button. Doing this helps us in more ways than I can begin to explain. If you're listening to this prior to April 9th, we are also doing a MacBook Air giveaway for you. You can enter into this giveaway by going to our Instagram page at the Dopamine Pursuit Podcast. And pinned at the top left, you will find the requirements for entering in. The giveaway will be announced on April 9th, so make sure you do your review prior to then. It does take a few days to upload, and thank you so much for supporting the show, and I hope you enjoy today's episode. This might be the episode that you might want to listen to twice because I am about to drop bomb after bomb on one of my favorite topics, time efficiency and mind organization. Episode 5. There is nothing that drives me more nuts than when I see lack of time efficiency, and in almost every situation, my mind is doing a sweep of how can we make this more efficient? How can I habit stack? How can I keep moving to get this done more effectively and efficiently? And this can be something as simple as cleaning the kitchen as I go, loading the dishwasher as I go, as I'm making myself dinner or a big family dinner. But I wasn't always wired this way. And some of us are the type where we let our dishes stack while cooking. We have a messy paper towel over there and a used spoon over here and something spilled over there, and then leaving it for all after the meal to have one long big cleanup. For me, that's an immediately no. And that's only because I was exposed to efficiency in my early 20s. But prior to then, nope, I was going to go for that long big cleanup. I put something in the oven now. While I wait, I clean. Same thing with creating a business system. How can I think outside of the box to make this better and more efficient? How can I automate this? How can I create these reports faster? My brain is now wired to think of things like this, and I know some can relate, some cannot. So today, I'm going to share every efficiency hack I use, and we're going to do a clean sweep analyzation of all of our current systems and processes for efficiency. And I'm going to give you apps. I'm going to give you formulas. I'm going to give you tactics. And my goal is to help you think about time just a little bit differently by the end of this. Because time, as we know, is non-refundable. Can't get it back. And we don't know how long we have it. So from a logical standpoint, we would think that that alone would be enough for us to strive to our fullest potential each day, make the most of the day, because we don't know our end date. We would all be maximizing our time to our fullest. But we learned in previous episodes about our subconscious and how it can flip switches to prevent us from doing this when we aren't doing the work to be super self-aware. We'll negotiate with our goals and dreams. I don't know if I want to put in the time and the effort required to hit that goal. And this could be in regards to a fitness goal. It could be in regards to a personal goal, a business goal, any goal. We negotiate with ourselves and we hold ourselves back and tell ourselves we like things that the way that they are, or it could be the opposite. We can know that we don't like how things are, and we just can't seem to find the switch to flip to reaching our best selves. When you negotiate with your dreams or goals, it's wise to ask ourselves, am I being true to my most authentic self? Am I setting myself up for regret? Am I creating justifications and reasons for not being efficient with my time because of a form of subconscious sabotage? Is it an underlying fear causing me to justify why I'm not going after that goal, that idea, or the dream? We can make a million excuses, reasons, justifications for why we aren't living our lives to its fullest potential, but your heart knows the truth deep down. And if you feel a slight pull or a massive pull, either, as you hear me saying this, It's time to be honest with yourself and to be open to applying all of the tangibles that we are going to go over today. Commitment to time efficiency is a key to this. And if you know me well, you know this is something I too have struggled with in my lifetime. I have phenomenal quarters and I have not so great quarters where time management can definitely be improved on. Because by nature, I am a hippie with my time and I struggle to give commitment ahead of times on the quarters that I don't follow these tactics and I don't have clarity on my availability. Sometimes that's due to forces beyond my control. Sometimes it's due for my need for freedom of choice. I do not like to commit to something unless I am 100% in. If I say I'm going to show up to something, I'm 100% going to show up to it. If I say I'm going to do something, I do it. So sometimes committing in advance can be difficult for me, in particular when I'm unsure if unforeseen work circumstances will be arising. And I share this for the reason of letting you know I can relate to time from more than one perspective, and I'm definitely not perfect. And it is a practice to continue practicing even when we fall back to our not so perfect months, which can and will happen. So there's so many gold mine nuggets in this episode. I want you to have that as a preface. It's important to notice when we fall back into those old patterns. And if we don't do everything perfectly, it's okay. We just pick up with the tools that we know and have. And it is because I can relate where you may be struggling that I can in turn provide you the tools that have helped lead me to my most successful and efficient time periods. And having all the tools, there's one important thing to remember when it comes to time, and that is sustainability. I don't personally believe in burnout. I think that's a mindset, but I do believe that it's important to utilize your time in a sustainable way in order to prevent self-sabotage when your inputs are not feeling sustainable. I also believe in the importance of understanding there are seasons where you're going to go harder in one aspect of life versus another, which is very important to process in the understanding of your time. Tim Grover, he has a concept and he says, who wants zero love? Who wants zero happiness? Who wants zero sales? Who wants zero health? No one. What is the number on a perfectly balanced scale? Zero. When you are so busy trying to be balanced and great at everything, you won't be great at anything. Can you be great at more than one thing? Absolutely. Can you be an excellent wife, an excellent husband, mother, father, sister, friend, while having a thriving career, a spiritual life, a fitness routine? Absolutely. How do you do this, though, is to stop worrying about being judged about what others perceive of you and your choices and what you're doing with your time, because if that is your main concern, there will be no balance. You don't find balance, you create balance. And your definition of balance is going to be completely different than someone else's definition of balance. This right here is why it is of extreme importance for you to have clarity on what you want in your life. Not what other people want for you, but what you want and why you want it. Go back to the previous episodes to dig deeper on this if you need to. But having clarity on what you want, why you want it, and then you can decide what it is you are going to go for, write out your responsibilities in life, and understand there are going to be seasons where the scale has to tip a little bit in other directions. Your time is not going to always be perfectly balanced. It can be efficient, it can be purposeful, but it won't always be balanced. To give you an example, when I was marathon training, I was doing the sauna each week, sometimes every day. I was doing runs. I was preparing for the runs. I was studying. I was studying strength training. I was studying running. I was studying form. I was studying stretching. I was actually stretching. I was going to the chiropractor. I was going to massages super regularly. I was going to acupuncture. Although I would like to believe that this didn't take away from my career in any way, realistically, it did. Instead of spending my evenings preparing for a launch and setting up podcast equipment, almost every evening was spent in the gym, most days twice a day, and the podcast equipment was left in boxes in my spare room until the marathon was over. And that's okay. We've talked about this. That has led me to have the experiences that I have, to be able to lead me to giving you the words that I'm giving you on this day. All has its divine timing. But when you're doing a launch of any kind, for another example, or going for a big work promotion, you are going to have to tip the scales more in the direction of your career. Or if you're going for a big fitness goal, tip it a little bit more towards there. It is important to be aware of this so you can communicate with the people around you. You can plan in advance so we're never fully out of balance. We never let the scale tip too far. Everybody knows where the scale's at, but it's our own standard of balance for what we want overall in life. And we're going to go through what that looks like in our episode today. When you manage your time wisely, according to your own personal balance, and your time is efficient, you create consistency. Consistency breeds confidence. If you're feeling insecure, or if you're feeling behind, or if you're feeling unworthy in any way, start with analyzing your time. So back to sustainability. We're going to analyze our time, our goals, our organization, and we're going to create a sustainable system for you to carry this out. We aren't tipping the scales too far in one direction. If you grind something too much, it's going to turn to dust. Healthy, long-term, sustainable time systems are goal number one. And with that being said, just like everything we've talked about so far, when you realize something isn't working or you are grinding too much in one direction, that doesn't mean quit. It doesn't mean slow down completely or quote unquote burn out. It just means we need to adjust the scales and the expectations a little bit. Time to do a sweep, just like we're about to do here and now. So the six pillars of time efficiency. Number one, clarity. Number two, systems. Number three, routine. Number four, elimination. Number five, execution. Number six, repetition. Let's start with pillar one, clarity. Under the pillar of clarity comes five priorities. We need to be clear on our goals. We need to be clear on our current state, clear on our tasks to complete, clear on communication, and clear on prioritization. So let's start with our goals. In order to be most efficient with our time, we need to know what it is that we want to do with our time. We need to find extreme clarity. And I'm not going to dive too deep into this because previous episodes, like episode 3, Decoding Your Motivation, Finding Your Why, it does exactly this. We also have workbooks provided for you if you go to the show notes for assisting with this. But knowing what you want long term is going to help you in the moments. In simplest terms, what is the goal? What will make you successful with this goal? Who do you need to become to hit this goal? So now envision that future self. How does this person show up? How do they walk? How do they talk? How do they dress? How do they think? What are they reading? What are they watching? What are they learning? Once you know the answer to those questions, you know what your goal is, you know how you need to show up, you're going to also reverse engineer that goal. Start with the goal in mind and work backwards to identify the most efficient steps to achieve it. This prevents wasting time on tasks that don't contribute directly to your objectives. So identifying all of this and then start showing up as this person today. Because in order to become, we must be. Next, we're going to analyze our current state, recognizing where are we making excuses for ourselves and where we aren't. Are we tired? Are we healthy? Health equals energy. Energy equals efficiency. What are your current sleeping habits? Do you get a minimum of 7 hours? Is your sleep schedule consistent? Can you find routine in your sleep schedule? What can you make consistent? What are your health habits? Are you eating out? Are you getting groceries? Do you plan your groceries? Do you cook? Do you order in more than you should? Do you have a fitness routine? Are you hydrating enough? If we aren't taking care of our health first, then the rest of this episode doesn't matter. In this time efficiency plan, it's crucial to prioritize self-care activities like exercise, proper nutrition, sufficient sleep to maintain high energy levels and cognitive function. A healthy lifestyle is essential for sustained productivity and time efficiency, period. Additionally, investing in self-care, it's not a luxury. We can often be confused as luxurious. And yeah, it feels nice, but it's not a luxury. It's a necessity. Spending time taking care of yourself, spending time doing hobbies like pickleball, reading, knitting, whatever it is that floats your boat, all of that is also a necessity. This is how you maintain your physical and mental well-being. So we're clear on our first priorities. Now we need to get granular on the steps to the goal. Whenever I'm personally feeling overwhelmed because I didn't prepare my quarter properly, or I need to figure out anything, or maybe it's just the day or in my life, I turn to a brain dump. This has become a popular concept in the last couple of years. But for me, I separate my brain dumps into sections. I have 5 separate businesses currently. So I'll do 5 sections for the businesses, business 1, business 2, business 3, 4, and 5. And then I'll do a section 4 or personal things. Things like getting a haircut, a facial, accounting, oil change, family or friend calls. Anything that I can think of that is personal is going to go under that section. And then if you have kids, you can have a section for your kids, because I know that comes with a whole list of things to do as well. And then any dreams or ideas or thoughts that you just need to get out, I'll do a section for that. So for me, I have sections for my businesses, a section for my personal, and then my dreams and ideas. I'll set a 30-minute timer and then I just pour it out. Get it out of my mind. In the moments I feel like I have nothing left to put down, I stay in that timer and I wait and I think and I dig, and more always comes. So keep on writing until that timer goes out, force it out of yourself, and get as granular as you can. Housework, home finances, family life, purchasing a gift, buying cat food, wiping down the windows. Get as clear as possible on everything that needs to be done. Get it out of your mind. Get clarity on it. Have it all out visually on that paper. And then from there, once that timer goes off, I now go through the sections and I prioritize what needs to be done first. What is the thing that I want to do the least? Whatever it is I want to do the least, whatever I'm avoiding most, is usually what you need to do the most. So I'll do what I'm avoiding or what I don't want to do. And then I also do what's circled as a top priority. I'll circle or highlight all of the things that need to be prioritized. That's my first step of action. Next up, I'm going to whip out my calendar. You can do this with a paper calendar. You can do this with a Google calendar and color code, a calendar from Target. But if you're going to use other electronic tools, I suggest later in the episode, I suggest using a Google calendar, because you can sync it to other apps, and a paper calendar isn't always going to be with you guaranteed at all times. But having it virtually in your phone, it can be very helpful and it can keep you consistent. So from there, I just schedule out the rest of my brain dump. I'll prioritize the task, focus on completing higher priority tasks first before moving on to less important ones. And then this ensures that I'm addressing my most critical issues promptly. And then I look at what can I delegate. This is very important. What can I delegate or outsource? I identify tasks that can be delegated, outsourced, and then allow it to help me focus on higher priority activities that require only my brain, only my expertise. Platforms like Upwork or Fiverr offer opportunities to hire freelancers for specific tasks. You can get a virtual assistant for as low as $5 to $10 an hour. Anything tedious, outsource it. Hiring an assistant and why you need to do so is an entirely different episode. But what I will say is that delegation is part of leadership and scaling. And the sooner you realize you can't and shouldn't do it all, the sooner you will scale, the sooner your business will grow. Where can you cut back so you can scale sooner and double your profits? Can I delegate someone to help me with managing my schedule and my time? There you go. You're doing part of what we're doing right here. Identify tasks that can be delegated to others and empower them to take on those responsibilities. This frees up your time to focus on more important tasks. Time is money. Some may see hiring a house cleaner as a luxury. I look at it as a necessity. The 3 hours spent deep cleaning a home is well worth the 3 hours paid to someone who specializes in that industry, while I focus on making income in my own industry. When you know the value of your time and its worth, which is another episode that we'll dive into more, then it becomes a lot easier to say yes to affording the delegation. And aside from professionals, utilize your resources. Who would want to intern for your business? Who do you know? Who wants to learn from you for free while helping you carry out tasks on your plate? And even in the making of this podcast, on a technology aspect alone, the sooner I finally asked for help, the quicker things began to come together. I was trying to figure out cords and electronics and video cameras and 4K, 8K, all of the things, and watching YouTube videos and reading articles. I asked for help one day. I received the help, and shout out Casey, she saved me. Everything started falling together by someone who had a different set of eyes and was able to offer me a different level of expertise. Boom, things happened 50 times faster once I finally asked for help. All right, now we are crystal clear on what needs to be done, who is doing what, and when. The brain dump, it's best done quarterly. My most successful, thriving, balanced, my version of balanced quarters are the quarters I plan all of this in advance. Of course, things change at times, which is why having the ability to remain flexible is important as well. But when you make your plans for life and business quarterly, it makes everything a lot easier, less decisions, more smooth, easier to be in routine, easier to accomplish, easier to be efficient. And as we are ending the end of the quarter now, at the time of this episode being released, you can do this now as well. Take action. Remember, this isn't a podcast for us to consume. I've provided you another workbook that is very specific to this episode. It has some of the questions that we asked earlier in this episode and journal prompts for you to utilize. And this is all on time efficiency. And you're going to do just what we simply went over. Identify quarterly objectives, establish clear, achievable goals for the day, the week, the month, the year, reverse engineer, and then break them down into smaller tasks to make them more manageable. So you're going to do this quarterly, and then you're going to do monthly. You're going to review it. How are we doing on the goals so far? Then you're going to do it weekly. Same thing, review. How are we doing on the goals? Did we miss any of our targets? Do we need to move them around? And with that, Sunday correlations are really helpful as well. So a Sunday correlation is something that I used to do with my partner. One of my mentors told me about it, and it was phenomenal for our relationship when we would do them. But we would ask each other which of the monthly goals are the focus for the week. And then we would take it a step further and we would ask a question. And in that question, we had a rule that you aren't allowed to judge or say anything, just okay. That was the only thing that we were allowed to respond. And the question was, how can I do better for you this week? This question is a gold mine for relationships if both partners are able to be objective, apply feedback, and not be defensive. And also shared Google calendars are very helpful for partnerships too, by the way. So we've done quarterly, monthly, weekly, now breaking it down daily, having self-reflection every evening. I have an alarm on my phone that goes off every night at 9:15. How did the day go? What can I have gratitude for? Do I need to adjust my to-do list? Do I need to create a to-do list? If I didn't do the quarterly, weekly, if I missed, if I fell back into an old pattern, make that to-do list, prioritize the top three based on urgency and importance. And then there's also an app or website that automatically adjusts your calendar. I tried using it for a while. It wasn't for me, but I do want to throw it out there. If you do not finish a task for the day, it will automatically load it into a time in your week that you do not already have blocked off. It's a paid service. I think it was like $200 for the year. It's called Motion, and it uses AI to reorganize your schedule if you don't complete the task. So that's just an option for you too, if you want to explore that. It's not sponsored, just sharing some of the things that I've used in the past. And our last priority for clarity is going to be communication. Very important. Those Sunday correlations are beautiful, but obviously life doesn't always happen that way and align for us to be able to do that in everyone's world. So communicating with partners, friends, families, wherever your scale has to tip in a direction more than the other for a season, it's very important you're communicating that and helping the people around you understand your why, your direction, how this will impact you, how it can impact them, how it can impact your family potentially, and how staying true to your authentic direction and your authentic needs is going to enable you to show up better for them. All conversations that are excellent to have. You also might need to set boundaries. So you have your schedule, you have your quarterly plan, you have your weekly plan, whatever it is. Establishing boundaries with your coworkers, your friends, your families to protect your time and focus, and communicating your availability when you need uninterrupted work time. And no excuses on this. I have so many clients that will say things like, oh, I can't do that. I have a whole house full of kids running around. Go to the local library. Get out of the house if you must. Make sure you have strong boundaries to your schedule and what you need to do. And then also practice effective communication. And then, of course, practice effective communication all the way around. Clearly communicate your expectations, your deadlines, requirements with anybody that is very close to you. That way it can just help you avoid misunderstandings and avoid any delays. And then lastly, under the communication priority is going to be learn to say no. This is sexy. When you say no, it is sexy when you respect your own boundaries. It is sexy when you turn things down that don't align to your highest selves and that don't get you closer to your goals. How sexy of you to do the work and to say no when it is time to say no. Don't overcommit yourself by saying yes to every request or opportunity. Don't have the FOMO. The only real FOMO is going to be the fear of missing out on your dreams. Remember that. Learn to say no when necessary to protect your time and your energy, and that includes to family, which is why communication is so extremely important. When you say no, it's not no forever. Sometimes that no is just for a season while you focus on whatever it is that you need to focus on. All right, we are clear. It doesn't get any more clear than that. That is pillar one, clarity. And there were those priorities within that clarity. Now we get to put in place our systems for efficiency. So system number one, plan ahead. Everything we just talked about, but child pickup, making kids lunches, anything and everything that you can plan ahead for, do it. System number two, this is underrated, but it brings so much peace. Staying organized. Keep your workspace tidy. Keep it organized. Reduce any clutter. And that's going to help you improve your focus. But use folders, labels, storage solutions to just maintain order. You shouldn't have stuff stacked everywhere. That can cause overwhelm and potentially give you brain fog. System number three, group similar tasks together and tackle them consecutively. So this reduces context switching and it's going to increase your efficiency. But it's not to be confused with multitasking. So multitasking would be working one business and then also having another business open or texting while doing something else. That is multitasking. Batching is doing the same activity. So if you have to film things multiple times in a week and you got to do hair and makeup, do that all in one day. Film all of your content in one day. Do the hair and makeup and do all of filming. You can also do this for batch processing reports, emails, phone calls. Focus on one task and do all of the tasks in that context at once. If you have a day that you have to have a bunch of Zoom meetings, try and do all of the Zoom meetings on the same day. That way you're not switching from Zoom meetings to filming to training to this to that. It's all very similar processes on the same day of the week. And then you can wake up and it's less having to switch your brain around. So batching similar tasks is a very good system. System number four is going to be making sure you plan your breaks and practicing daily mindfulness. This goes along with being present, which we'll go into a little bit later, but incorporate mindfulness techniques such as meditation, deep breathing. These mindful exercises help you stay present and focused in your work and help boost your productivity and your creativity when you return for work. Take these little breaks of just being mindful, just being sitting with yourself. That doesn't mean sitting with yourself in your cell phone and scrolling. It means just taking a minute, breathing. And this also helps you connect to your higher self, helps you connect with your spirituality. If you are spiritual, take those moments throughout the day. And it's healthy to work in 25-minute periods of time block. So if you're writing, write for 25 minutes. Take 5 minutes to go be mindful, to breathe, to stretch, to walk around, change your state. System number five, that's going to be your quarterly correlations. System number six, your Sunday correlations, your weekly correlations. System number seven, ways to trick yourself into productivity when you are in the moment of old patterns. So that system would be something like setting the timers, like I just mentioned, changing your physiology, the 5-4-3-2-1 method that we went over in an earlier episode. And then system number eight is going to be habit stacking. So this is also different than multitasking. We don't want to multitask because multitasking lose efficiency, but habit stacking is an example of that, is going for a walk while doing a work call or answering emails while standing in line at the DMV. That would be habit stacking. Scanning the room or situation. Is there anything you could stack right now? If you're walking from one end of the office, is there anything that needs to be taken to the other end of the office while you're walking over there? Is there anything you can do at the same time that's inevitable to be needed to be done? And then system number nine is going to be automated task management. So utilizing task management tools and automation software, things like that, to streamline repetitive tasks, scheduling emails, setting reminders, organizing files. This frees up more time for more meaningful work. So examples of this, Motion, which I mentioned earlier. I've also used the app Todoist. This is basically like a checklist app where you can put the things that you need to get done and then you can manually change them around. You can also create folders for them. I also use the app Structured. So that is the one I currently use. I love Structured. It helps me time block out my day, but it also gives me the dopamine hits to be able to check off tasks as I go. Time Block is another app. I don't use it as often, but I liked Time Block because you can have a widget on your phone added for the app and it showed a countdown. So I always felt like I was clocking into a task. Let's say I was going to do a task for 25 minutes. I would see I was going to be in that task. And whenever I would start to get bored of that task, I would just look at it and be like, okay, a couple minutes till I can clock out. This could be done on a timer as well. I just like the widget. It was aesthetically pleasing. But the two that I use is going to be Structured. And then of course, Google Calendar. Google Calendar is my Bible of everything that I need to get done. All of the calls that I have, that's where I do my quarterly planning. Google Calendar is life. It took me a while to get used to it, but if you adjust the day, the week, the month, the way that you're viewing the calendar, it becomes a lot easier to kind of get used to. And then also color coding makes it kind of fun. And again, a little bit more aesthetically pleasing, which makes it more fun for me to go into. Pillar number three, routine. So we have clarity, we have our systems. Now we need to be in routine as much as possible. This is so helpful to efficiency, but of course, it is not always able to be done perfectly if you travel often. One thing you do have control over though in your routine is how you own each day. There's a book and it's called The 5 a.m. Club, and it has a quote that's repeated over and over again, and it's own your morning, own your day. Such a fantastic book. It is so important to have a morning routine, and you can set up your morning routine to be anywhere. So if you are in a relationship and you're sleeping over at your boyfriend's house or girlfriend's house, or if you're traveling a ton for work, you can find things in your day to make your life as routine as possible. The more routine your life is, the more efficient it's going to be. So if you can set things up to put yourself in a routine, an example, a couple of summers ago, my team and I had a 6 a.m. club. We would wake up at 5:45, we would make our coffee, and from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m., we would do our reflection for the day, we would do gratitude, we would do a whole morning routine, we would check our businesses, we would get things started, do our prioritization of things on our to-do list if we still needed to do that. All of that from 6 to 7, and then head out, go to our workout classes, and start our day. So how can you find routine? Is it going to be something like finding friends to be accountable with you and doing something like the 6 a.m. club? Is it going to be finding habits and checking those off daily, which I'll go into in just a second? Is it going to be physical activity, which I 10 out of 10 recommend doing that in the morning? Maybe you don't have your coffee until you move your body, and that is just part of your routine, and it creates a reward system no matter where you are for yourself to give yourself the dopamine in the pursuit of doing things consistently. Another example is creating a habit checklist in your phone for these things and getting that dopamine as you check it off daily, the routine habits you stuck to. That could be taking your vitamins, anything simple. I would always suggest starting small. Just find what works best for you. And then if you want to add progressively, but just start with a few small things in the beginning so you can build the confidence and your consistency. Once you've built that confidence and consistency, which will take time, then you can continue to add on. Additionally, with your routine, something else that people can't take away from you is you have to go to bed. So before you go to bed, reviewing and reflecting on that day, taking time to look at your schedule for you to be as efficient as possible if there needs to be any changes, identifying areas for improvement. Routine is a big one, and pillar number four is going to be elimination. We've talked about this a little bit already in this episode, but eliminating as many decisions as possible is massive for efficiency. So laying out your clothes, planning in advance, that quarterly planning, having meals planned for the week in advance, scheduling your workouts instead of just when am I going to work out? What gym am I going to go to? Knowing exactly what gym you're going to go to, knowing exactly what workout you're going to, planning out that workout if you aren't going to a workout class or working with a trainer, scheduling everything you can in advance from oil changes to haircuts, everything. Set your alarm schedule for the week in advance. As many things as you can set up in advance, the more decisions you have eliminated in your day, just like Steve Jobs, he wore the same exact thing every single day, black shirt, black pants, one less thing for him to make a decision on. And then you have more brain power for important things. I believe it's black pants. I'm not positive. But every day when you wake up, you know exactly where you're going, what you're going to do. And that's efficiency, efficiency, efficiency. And then you can limit distractions on the topic of elimination that can take away from your time efficiency, identifying common distractions and taking steps to minimize them. That could be turning off your notifications, setting boundaries, which we've talked about, finding a quiet workspace, which we've talked about, limit or eliminating multitasking. That is a big one. We are a big no-no on multitasking, focusing on one task at a time to avoid spreading ourselves too thin. Multitasking decreases efficiency and leads to errors. Research literally shows that multitasking can decrease productivity and increase errors. We do not want that. You can also limit times on social media, on all of the apps, and on your phone. You can limit how long you're allowed to spend on them, 15 minutes a day, whatever it's going to be. Pillar number 5, execution and being present. So now we know all of the things we need to do. We know all of the things we don't need to do. And then we need to just execute. Be all in with what you are doing. Be present in the tasks that you have scheduled. Be present with the people that you are with when you are with them, especially if you're in a season where your scales aren't tipping so far onto the socialization side. When you are with your family, when you are with your friends, be present with them. Most people don't realize how much it affects others when they're constantly on their phones and they're not prioritizing the people that are right in front of them. For the time that you're with your people, put the phone down, be present, have conversation, and be in it with them. If you have a divorce because you're not doing that, it's going to really tip your scale. And then you're going to be tipping, let's say you're working really hard and it's tipped your scale because you're really in your hustle season and now your relationship suffers and then now your wife wants a divorce, your scale's super tipped and then guess what's happening? You just ruined everything because now your scale is going to tip the other way. You're upset about the divorce. You're going through all of that stuff. And now your scale is completely tipped away from business. Not the vibe. So make sure you are present. You execute properly. You communicate properly. This is something we all have to be good at. And then back to being flexible. Experimentation and optimization. Continuously experimenting with the different productivity techniques and tools to find what works best for you, and then keeping track of your progress and adjusting your strategies accordingly. Optimize your time efficiency over time for what best works for you. An app that I love might not be an app that you love. A process I love might not be a process that you love. But out of everything that we've gone over, 100%, there's things that are going to help you be more efficient, that can help anyone be more efficient. And our last pillar is going to be repetition. Once you find your groove, repeat, repeat, repeat. Consistency is going to be boring, but consistency equals excellence. Excellence, it's lonely sometimes. The time you have to spend on your craft, the time you have to practice working on it, and then doing it over and over and over again. But this is what's going to ultimately get you where you want to be, the places you want to go, and fully aligned with what you want, maximizing your time, maximizing your efficiency. But it takes work. So whatever your it is, it has an expiration date. But go get it, and go get it now. Be efficient, be organized, and get what it is that you are after. Thank you for joining us today. Please make sure you follow. Don't forget to sign up for the MacBook Air giveaway, following directions in the pinned post on Instagram, or to utilize the workbook you can get for free by following the info in the show notes. And we will see you next week. My name is Kristen Slonicki, and this is the Dopamine Pursuit Podcast.